The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Pat Lowney as he talks to entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney and I'm glad to be here this morning. I have Terry Pinch with me. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Pat. It's just a little over 2 weeks until Christmas. There's snow on the ground. It's 12 degrees outside, and it's a perfect time to talk to somebody about one of the biggest events of the summer in the Fox Valley area.
It is, and we've got just the person this morning. We have Dick Napinski with us. Hi, Dick.
Morning. How's it going, guys?
It's good. It's good. And Dick is Director of Communications for EAA in Oshkosh. And you've been with EA, you said, for about 26 years.
26 years, yep. When you're an airplane geek, there's no better place to be.
That's exactly right. So we'd like to talk a little bit this morning about EAA and the impact that you have on small business in Wisconsin and Northeast Wisconsin in particular. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit, briefly, the history of EAA and how you've grown from the time that you started out.
Sure. You know, it really is interesting because a lot of people think of it as Air Venture and the 1 week in late July, but it's so much more than that around the valley and throughout the entire year. So EAA actually started, the Experimental Aircraft Association started in 1953. Paul Poberesny and his friends down in Milwaukee thought, you know, we're always talking about building and restoring airplanes and so forth, we ought to start a club where the people around the Milwaukee area just to get together to do that. So in January 1953, 36 of them got together at Curtis Wright Field in Milwaukee, which is now Timmerman, and they had a meeting on a cold January night there and put together a club. And they decided to call it the Experimental Aircraft Association after the FAA designation, then the CAA, later became the FAA, of experimental, which is airplanes built and restored for recreation and education. It's an odd title, a little bit of a misnomer, because most of them aren't experimental. They come from kits. They come from sets of plans well established. But that's the category the FAA puts them in. So it started in Milwaukee, and then they had their first fly-in in September 1953. They had 21 airplanes and 150 people. And it was, the crowd was so large, 150 people, that they all had dinner on Saturday night in the Miller Brewing Company hangar there at Timmerman. And so it was, you know, we can't do that anymore. So we go on, and it grew and grew, and the organization kept growing. People from around the country, the first chapter was founded in Riverside, California in 1954. Somebody said, hey, that's a good idea. Can we get a local chapter of what you're doing there? And so they said, okay. And so that's grown into 900 chapters throughout the country and a few internationally as well. Our memberships continued to grow. The fly-in itself moved to Rockford, Illinois in the 1960s, then to Oshkosh in 1970. Matter of fact, next year will be the 50th consecutive year in Oshkosh. And then the headquarters moved to Oshkosh in 1983, so we had everything in one place. Because for 13 years, they used to pack up headquarters, bring it up to Oshkosh every year from Milwaukee, and then take it back down after the fly-in. So it has continued to grow. We now have the museum right along I-41 on the south end of Oshkosh. We have more than 900 chapters, 219,000 members worldwide. We have a collection of airplanes that is one of the largest private collections in the world, about 200 airplanes in the collection. And the museum is one of the biggest tourism draws in Northeast Wisconsin. I think we're just behind the Packer Hall of Fame as far as museums in Northeast Wisconsin. So it has become a large entity from a very small idea, say, hey, airplane geeks, let's get together and make a club of people who build and restore airplanes.
What year was the museum built?
The museum in Oshkosh was built in 1983. So we are just celebrating our 35th year in that facility.
Okay. So it's one of those things that, you know, has a history, a long history behind it, and a long history in this area. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what it took for our EAA to grow from that small little hangar or group in Milwaukee up to what it is today. There's a lot of development and organization that had to come, and I'm sure A lot of that probably was things that were developed as the need came. You realize that now when you've got a chapter out in California, somebody has to keep in contact with that chapter.
That's true.
And start forming that person that, you know, you keep an eye on them and keep them involved and things like that.
Yeah, that's really true, Pat. When you take a look at it, a lot of it was organic growth. It just kind of happened. The museum actually happened back in the 1960s in Milwaukee, just to take an example, when people would say, Paul, I've got this airplane. Would you like it to put on display at your offices? And people would donate airplanes. Okay, and now suddenly you have five or six airplanes. What are we going to do? Well, some are significant. Let's build a little pole building and have a small museum to go with it. And now you have to develop a museum business plan because you've never had one before. The chapters, how do you communicate with a growing number of chapters? So a lot of it was organic in the early years especially, and I'll say the first 30 years of the organization, that it just kind of happened. And like many small businesses, entrepreneurs starting out, you get in a place and you go, okay, well, now I've got this. I wasn't expecting to have that. Now I've got a plan for this, or I've got to deal with it one way or the other. You might grow to a point, I have to start hiring employees. You know, for a long time, it was Paul Poberesny and his wife, Audrey, who handled everything. They typed out membership cards on a typewriter down in the basement of their home and, you know, just did things like that. And pretty soon, you have to start hiring people. You look at office space. You look at all of that. And then when you continue to grow, especially in the 1980s, where you say, we have grown to a point where we want to build a facility where EAA, which at the time had about 90,000 members, where can they come and have their home? And they looked around the country and decided to bring the fly-in and the headquarters together in Oshkosh in the early 1980s. And, well, now you've got a facility. And now you've got people, and now you've got all these things that you have to put together business plans and do planning and make sure it's coordinated. It's just not, well, that sounds like a good idea. Let's run with it. You have to make sure that idea is really a good one and keep doing it and put in those good business practices that, well, we keep doing today.
And how many full-time employees does EAA have now?
We have about 175 full-time employees, which is more than a lot of people imagine that it is, because we have... First of all, for a membership organization of 200,000-plus members, you have everything that goes with that. You have finance. You have marketing. You have donor development. You have government advocacy. You have a whole chapter office to work with members. You have member services, and so on and so forth. And then you have the museum piece, so you've got full-time museum people. Since you have buildings and grounds, you have maintenance. And since we have airplanes, well, we have to have people to take care of airplanes. So we have aircraft mechanics and so forth that work there. And by the time you get done with it, you've got 175 full-time people.
And that still qualifies you as a small business under the definition that the SBA uses. So even though you're big in many, many ways, you're still a small business, and you've got, you know, a lot of the concerns and the worries and things that a small business has as they move along through their life.
Yeah, we really do, Pat. You take a look at it, and it's an interesting dichotomy because you said, okay, we're a $40 million a year business, which is fairly large, but you have 175 employees, which is kind of small, or in the Fox Valley, probably medium-sized type thing. But you have all of those concerns that small businesses have, finding people, building maintenance, government regulation. Aviation is one of the most regulated entities anywhere, and so you get to deal with that. And there's a lot of paperwork. I'd like to say the first thing you learn at EAA is learning how to speak in acronyms, because it's aviation, and so you have to learn to speak in acronyms. And all of these things come around. So it's everything that a small business will have to deal with on the local, state, and federal level, especially with regulation.
And you've also experienced in your life those big jumps that you have to make. For example, when you made the decision to build a museum and move the headquarters to Oshkosh, those were decisions I bet you a number of people spent some really sleepless nights over, saying, you know, we need this, but I'm not sure we're going to have the money for it, or where we're going to get the money for it, or how we're going to do this kind of thing. Even when you're pretty confident, there are times when, you know, you have that fear maybe in the back of your head that, you know, this is a big jump and we got to make this work.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's really interesting is sometimes building the initial, whatever it is, whether it's a brick and mortar facility, whether it's a new program, whatever, sometimes is the easiest part in saying, okay, we have the capital, we can go ahead and do this. So to equate it to small businesses, okay, we can expand, we can hire some people. What a lot of times that people don't think about on the front end is, how do we sustain this over 10, 15, 20 years? Because if you're going to add a piece of building, well, now that building is going to need maintenance as well. It's not your 5,000-square-foot facility anymore. It might be 10, 15,000 square feet. So you have to add the cost of that, of maintaining it, building it. How much more did light bulbs cost and things like that? And it's amazing. Our maintenance people go through it. And recently, one thing we did over the past 5 years was change from regular fluorescent to LED light bulbs. And he said, yeah, a little more expensive, but they saved us a lot of money on the front end because they'll last a long time. And, well, how much were you spending in light bulbs? And they told me, and I went, really? You know, that's one of those things you never expect. And so all of those things go into it for a facility. So that's why it's much more than just AirVenture.
It is. It is. So when you do the AirVenture week in end of July, how many people do you have? Then do you ramp up to employ, and how many volunteers make that happen?
Oh, yeah, Pat. It starts, we have our staff, and then in the summer we'll hire a lot of interns and seasonal staff. So we'll probably add 50 people between college interns and seasonal staff. And then we add about 600 for the week in everything from security to bartending for events to selling T-shirts. We run grocery stores in the campground where people camp, and so we have people working in there. So 600 people, and that's a challenge in this current labor market. And so you have that, and then add to that about 5,000 volunteers that work the event. They come from throughout the country and around the world and come there. A lot of them give up their weeks of vacation and come there because they're EAA members. They want to be a part of really what's their convention each year. People think of it as an air show, but first and foremost, it's a convention of EAA members and their aircraft.
Great, great. So we're talking to Dick Napinski this morning from EAA. If you'd like to get in the conversation, you can give us a call at 281-1150 or 866-887-1150. We'd love to have you with us, and you're listening to BizTalk on WHBY.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Are you a business owner looking to purchase real estate or equipment? Did you know there's a program out there that any bank or credit union can offer to help you make it happen with as little as 10% down and long-term fixed rates under 5%? It's called the SBA 504 program, and it has been working for small businesses for over 35 years. So next time you are talking to your banker about real estate or equipment financing, make sure you ask them for the SBA 504 option, because knowing all of your options is good business. Learn more about the SBA 504 program at wbd.org.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us this morning. We're talking to Dick Napinski from EAA, and we're talking about what EAA does for the community around us and small businesses. But we're going to take a couple minutes and talk just a little bit about Fox City Score Chapter. Our Score Chapter is located in downtown Appleton. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac, and we serve the 8-county area around those cities. We have about 50 volunteer mentors, each of them an expert in their field. We offer entrepreneurs no-cost, confidential mentoring. We have experience in areas such as IT, social media, marketing, cash flow, accounting, strategic planning, workflow, HR, retail, best practices, and many other specialties. In order to register for a no-cost and confidential mentoring session or to learn more about the Fox City Score Chapter, visit our website at foxcities.score.org. You can learn more about how the Score Chapter can assist you with starting or growing your business. When visiting our website at foxcities.score.org, you can complete an online application for our no-cost confidential mentoring session. Simply complete the online form and submit it to Score. Within a few days, the Score Mentor will be contacting you to set up a meeting. Remember, Score is no cost and offers experts who can offer you assistance in many different areas of your business that you may feel you need assistance in. To get started, simply visit our website, foxcities.score.org. And we're always looking for new Score Mentors, so if you have expertise in an area that you'd like to share with other small businesses that are starting up, we'd love to hear from you. We're looking for people right now with experience in agriculture like hydroponics, wellness, especially in the assisted living area, government contracts, and construction. So if you've got experience in those areas, you don't have to be the expert. You just have to be willing to help somebody else who's looking for some help. Go out to foxcities.score.org, click on the volunteer button, and fill out the short application, and we'll get back to you to explain more. And just a reminder, our phone numbers this morning are 281-1150 and toll-free at 866-887-1150. Give us a call if you have a question for Dick.
Okay, Dick, everybody listening will have seen in the summer all the planes flying over, the people in the area, the restaurants full, and so we all know about AirVenture, mm-hmm. bits about it. But it's not, the organization doesn't just focus on 1 week and then shut down the rest of the year. What are the different things you're doing for the community, for yourself, for your organization, and what all do you guys do?
Okay, yeah, you're true. AirVenture is kind of the 800-pound gorilla of our year. It mm-hmm. It dominates quite a bit of planning, and a lot of people think of it like the old musical Brigadoon. Suddenly it appears for a week, and here it is, and then after a week it goes away and not to be seen again for another week. But there's so much more involved in that. We talked a little bit about it earlier, Terry, when you start talking about 219,000 members worldwide. That's a tremendous amount of communication needed with a member. We put out four magazines each month, our main flagship publication and those with interest in warbirds, the ex-military aircraft, antique aircraft, and also aerobatic flight. We have councils throughout. We work with government throughout the year. We have our 900 chapters we work with. There's a museum that's open all but 5 days a year. For instance, last night we had 800 people at the museum for our Wright Brothers Memorial Banquet, and Frank Borman, the commander of Apollo 8, was there talking about that trip, which is the 50th anniversary of that first orbit of the moon coming up in a couple weeks. So we have all of that. We have three airplanes that we tour throughout the country, two Ford Trimotors from the 1920s and a B-17 bomber. And so all of that that goes into it, the planning and so forth. And then you have the community outreach. We do a large number of events. Our facilities are open for everything from business meetings to parties to rentals and weddings and so forth. So you have a whole events division that comes into that. So it is constantly moving, and people said, boy, it must be nice after AirVenture to get a break. Yeah, kind of, but sometimes there's not much of a break there. And so you go on and all that stuff that you kind of set on the table and said, right after AirVenture, I'm going to get to that. Well, you turn into August, and that pile is still sitting there. So you get to deal with that.
And let's talk a little bit, too, about some of the educational things you do for young pilots, bringing people into flying, and just with the baby boomers aging, what does that mean for your demographics, and what are you trying to do to help?
That's a great point, Terry, because a lot of the pilots, the demographic is aging. We're looking for not only new pilots in recreational, but where this becomes a crisis point are people who want to fly in airlines, and that's a lot of people in the Fox Valley, that a lot of those pilots are going to be retiring in the next decade. Where are the new pilots going to be coming from? And some places say 150,000 new pilots are going to be needed for airlines, just airlines, in the next decade. Where are those pilots coming from? So one of the places we have is our Young Eagles program. And these are EAA members who volunteer to fly kids for free, give them that first demonstration flight in places throughout the country in their hometowns, and they donate their airplanes, the fuel, their time, and they'll take kids up for about 20 minutes, introduce them to aviation, and get them started. And then there are resources. We have, you can connect with a company called Sporty's Pilot Shop, and they've got an online ground school course that kids can take absolutely free after their Young Eagles flight. Stan Lee, in 2017, gave us a superhero, name of Avior. And the second comic book is coming out, and he represents the Young Eagles program. And so then you get beyond that. We're starting to work with people who are involved in gliders. They can get involved with that, with some of the training, free, after you've taken your Young Eagles flight. And then there are scholarships. We go well into six figures each year with scholarships that, for kids in college, for those in high school looking to get into aviation, here's an opportunity. Different scholarships everywhere from $500 to $5,000. Where if they're going into an aviation program or an aviation maintenance program, there's money out there that they can apply for.
I have to ask, for Marvel fans out there, ever, including my daughter, can they buy the comic at the EAA museum store?
You can get it. Matter of fact, if you go to avior.org, I'm going to give the shameless pitch here right now. avior.org, A-V-I-O-R-E, A-V-I-O-R-E.org, you will go right to that, and you will be able to see the comic right online. So
that's really cool. So I know when my daughter was younger, she participated in the Young Eagles program. And we, another thing you do out there is you also have older planes that you're people can pay to take a ride in that are some, you know, some of them are made in the 1920s and 1930s, correct?
We do. There are a couple of 1920s era biplanes. Pioneer Airport, part of the museum. You can come out there during the summer from May through September, and we have the open cockpit biplanes. And you can come out and pay for a flight, take off from the grass strip right behind the museum, take off, go up for about 15, 20 minutes, get the wind in your hair and the bugs in your teeth and everything else. If you want, we'll give you the leather helmet and the goggles if you want to ride and really look cool, and you can do that. And so it is something, it's the ultimate interactive museum experience. I mean, people talk about the growth of virtual reality. This is real reality. This is in an airplane. You're going up flying with our pilots, and so it's a wonderful experience. And the pilots have always said, we've never taken anybody up who hasn't come down smiling.
That's great, and it is a terrific experience, and I would encourage, and maybe not for a month or two or three around here now, but, you know, next spring and summer, really take a look at that because it is a great experience. You're listening to WHBY and BizTalk. We'll be right back.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night.
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit AlbertsHailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney, and I'm here with Terry Pinch this morning, and we're talking to Dick Napinski from EAA. And we'd like to kind of shift our conversation a little bit now and talk about the impact that EAA, a small business, has on other small businesses in the Oshkosh and northeastern Wisconsin area.
It's interesting because you talk about it as a small business, the number of employees, and then this enormous effect it has with just one event throughout the year, and we're not even counting year-round. But AirVenture, last year, UW Oshkosh did an independent study, and they came in, and we asked them to come in because we wanted it, some separation there. Say, this is your study, so we're not touching it. They came in, and for the five counties, Brown, Outagamie, Calumet, Winnebago, and Fond du Lac County that 1 week, the economic impact is $170 million. About $110 million of that is direct. It's direct money going in, and the rest is the ripple effect that goes when money is overturned because of a certain event. So $170 million, and to give people a little perspective on that, for instance, a Packer game, home Packer game, depending who you talk to and how far you'll reach, is $12 to $15 million per game. And so if you have 10 games, two preseason, eight regular season, last year and this year, unfortunately, no playoff games, but, you know, you have those years, but you have about $150 million. The U.S. Open Golf Tournament last year at Erin Hills, great event, brings notice from around the world. That is about $120 million of economic impact for the state. And so every 3, 4, 5 years, we have a major golf tournament here. But AirVenture, $170 million every year for those five counties. So that's a tremendous amount of economic impact that ripples out to many, many businesses, large and small, not only in Oshkosh, but throughout the Fox Valley.
And the ripple effect you talk about is, you know, somebody comes in, they spend $100, stay in a hotel or something like that, and those employees from that hotel then go out and spend it in grocery stores and hardware stores and buy gas and the things that they're doing, and that's where the ripple comes off from that, is all the different people that get impacted indirectly from not just the money that's spent, say, on the EAA grounds, but then those people, those 5,000 people you're talking about, they have to live and what they do with it and things, and what EAA does also.
Exactly. You know, there are a lot of small businesses that we work with, large and small, actually, that we work with throughout the Fox Valley. It's everything from equipment rental to landscaping to construction services to electrical to HVAC, you know, heating and air conditioning, and all of those things that we work with companies large and small on a regular basis. You know, there are some we kid their employees are almost our employees because they're out there so much, especially during the summer.
Before the show, one of the interesting stories you talked about was the impact you had on mining and quarries in the area, which I had never expected. Could you talk a little bit about that? That'll help show some of the impacts.
Yeah, part of that study in 2017 from UW Oshkosh, I looked out the bottom and they broke it all out in percentages and saying, you know, restaurants and hotels, gas stations, all of that. And down at the bottom, there was 0.1% mining. And I went, okay. I asked Dr. David Fuller, who ran the study, okay, I'll bite. What is mining? How does EA affect mining? And he said, well, I wonder too. So it works like this. You have exhibitors that come in, and they call up some of the local landscapers and say, I need some clear stone, I need some sand, I need some of this. We're putting landscaping around our exhibit. So the landscaper goes out to the local quarry and said, okay, I need this much, I need that much, I need this much. And suddenly there's economic benefit that goes down to the mining. That's not big in northeast Wisconsin, right, but it is there. And so they're getting some impact. They're seeing that out of EAA, one thing that you would have never seen. Another quick story I want to tell you very quickly. A business, there were some businesses on College Avenue here, buildings in College Avenue in Appleton, probably about 10, 15 years ago, that were empty. You know, some businesses had left, and they were for sale. And there was a man from Florida who bought the businesses, and the local paper actually asked him, said, do you have any attachment to the area, family in the area, history here? No. I come for EAA every year. I stay at the Paper Valley, and I walk down College Avenue. I saw these beautiful historic buildings. I looked at and said, yeah, that would be a good investment. And so he bought the buildings. And so those are the kind of things that happen that people don't expect because of EAA, because of AirVenture.
And, you know, that's a great example of also like hotels or restaurants that sometimes people will talk about, I wish there was this restaurant here that isn't here or may come. It's because of the impact that EAA has on the local economy that says, you know what, we're bringing enough people into the area on a yearly basis. And it isn't just people for AirVenture, but they come back, the people, the members of EAA are back and forth during the year and things too. And you know, we see enough that there's some base here that we can start to establish a store along with the people that live in the area.
Yeah, you take a look at some of the major companies throughout the Fox Valley, you know, whether it's a Kimberly-Clark or whether it's one of the big insurance companies or anything like that. They bring in a lot of people throughout the year. They call it the heads in beds type thing if you work in the Convention and Tourism Bureau area. And EAA does that too. They have people coming in throughout the entire year for meetings. meetings for this, to visit, and so forth, and they stay in the local area. And, you know, primarily in the Oshkosh area, but certainly up to Fox Valley, they utilize Appleton International Airport in many regards. They rent cars from here. All of that is part of the economy, so it operates very much as a year-round business does that has an international reach. And so that is another element beyond Air Venture that is a major part of what EAA contributes to the economy.
What things do you as EAA, as an organization, do now to make sure that, you know, you're going to have a successful year this coming summer when Air Venture lifts off again, and, you know, that you're going to be relevant to the aircraft community, say, 5 years or 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm. And that's a great question, because it really starts to develop as, what does it look like? And we'll start with the here and now. You start planning process for Air Venture, not only on the features and attractions, but also the financial end, the business end. What does it take? Because I can assure you, Pat, there is no shortage of good ideas out there. There are a lot of ideas that come our way, and a lot of them involve our money. And so, then, and like any business, you have to sort through those, whether it happens to be an attraction, a new feature, a new building, marketing plans, whatever it is. Anybody that owns a business can tell you that these things come at you from all angles, and so you have to sort through those. Which will be most advantageous as we look at plans? What will bring new members in? How do we make that money back? What will bring people in for Air Venture through the gates? How do we make that investment, you know, the old ROI, how do you get that return on investment back in? And so we study that very carefully. We put together capital budgets. Where are the improvements? What are the visitors asking for? Where can we do some things? Where is maintenance needed? Anybody running a business knows, you have facilities. Stuff breaks eventually. Stuff wears out. You've got to budget for that sort of thing. And so you start putting that in and saying, what are the projections? What do we see in the economy that might cause something on visitation? Would gas prices affect things, both motor gas prices for cars and aviation fuel prices? How will that affect people visiting? You know, we've seen tremendous growth the past few years because the economy is good. People are spending money. So you have to take all of that into consideration, the demands and what your resources might be, and combine it. And anybody who tries to hire somebody right now knows that labor market is supplying pressure to say, well, you can't pay $750 anymore. You're going to have to go, you know, even for a temporary employee, where do you go? 8, 9, 10? Where's that number? And that has to be worked into the equation as well.
I know one of the things that we were talking about a little bit earlier is the impact that, not just the impact that EAA has, but also the Oshkosh Airport. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more going on at the airport in Oshkosh than just EAA, right?
There is. You know, it's amazing. There's a new manager at the airport named Jim Schell, and he's doing a great job there. He's been in there probably about 6 months now. But Whitman Regional Airport, a lot of people think, boy, it doesn't have commercial service. It doesn't have airlines flying in, so not much happens there. It is the fourth busiest airport in the state of Wisconsin, not counting Air Venture. The 18,000 aircraft operations that take place during the week that make us the world's busiest airport. But the rest of the year, it is the fourth busiest airport in Wisconsin. And you think about that. It's used a lot for flight training because it doesn't have airlines flying in. So private pilots, those who are flight training, can fly in and out of there and in a little calmer environment. And yet it still has a control tower, so you can get that practice talking to a control tower at the same time. It has two very large runways, so regardless of where the wind is coming from, you can line up and be into the wind. You don't have to work hard on tough crosswind landings, especially if you're taking those early flight lessons, because crosswinds can be, adventurous if you're not used to flying early or taking those first few flight lessons. So all of that, a lot of corporate activity, a lot of military aircraft train there because of the large runways and all of the equipment there that was put into place because of the earlier airline traffic at Oshkosh and because of EAA. So it is a very busy airport. People may drive by and say, I don't see an airplane on the runway right now. Well, there aren't always airplanes on the runway, regardless of which airport you go to, unless it's maybe O'Hare or Hartsfield or something like that year-round. But it is a very vibrant airport. There are a number of businesses. There are millions and millions of dollars of activity that go on there. There are aircraft manufacturers. There are companies that have their airplanes right there on the field. There are actually some physicians who have their offices right there on the field because they have a hangar in the back. And so it's an interesting mix of businesses, and the county is working very hard to get even more businesses there. They've got the new aviation business park on the southeast corner that they're developing and looking at businesses that might want to connect with that name of Oshkosh, because it's probably one of the best known general aviation airports in the world.
Are you able to use that name of Oshkosh and EAA to help attract and keep employees? What other things do you do to help attract and keep employees?
For our business itself? Well, it's interesting because EAA does have a certain draw for aviation geeks everywhere, and they have the opportunity to work here. And we do draw some young people, and it's fun. They talk about the brain drain from Wisconsin. We're actually doing the opposite effect. We not only hire a lot of people in various areas from schools like UW Oshkosh and Lawrence and Madison and places like that, but from outside, a lot of our young professionals, those under 30 who have joined the staff in the past 8 to 10 years, have come to us from all over the country. Places like Embry-Riddle down in Florida, Bowdoin out in Maine. We have people from Missouri, things like that. And they want to work in aviation and have an opportunity to do so. So we're bringing young professionals into the Fox Valley, and they're becoming part of the community here and settling in here and so forth. So there's actually an unseen advantage to having a company like that in town, because the draw gets your foot in the door as far as attracting young professionals, but then they get to become part of the culture and get to do what they enjoy in aviation as well.
Is social media impacting you?
Oh, tremendously. Mm-hmm. We have full-time social media. We have a person that handles our social media, in fact, and I work very closely with that person as the communications director. Very strong in Facebook, in Twitter, in Instagram, reaching out to that. Matter of fact, we talked about Frank Borman being there last night. Yesterday afternoon, when we opened up the museum exhibit with his artifacts in it, we did a Facebook Live and walked around with Frank Borman describing what these things were. And so people could do that. And if you go to EAA's Facebook page, you can click into that right now and see what we did yesterday. So it is a quick way to get recognition out there about our activities, about what we're doing, and about our culture as well. We use it for hiring people through LinkedIn. We get out there and say, would you like to work with this? Here's an opportunity to work in aviation, or if you're in finance, to work with a group doing something that's much more than just coming to the office every day. And that's what we can offer. And that makes a difference.
How do you build social media into AirVenture? Where are you going with that? What do you see coming in the future?
It is becoming a greater and greater part of it. The abilities of doing live streams. We now live stream the air show and put that together and have that and let people know. To give people the feeling of being at Oshkosh for AirVenture if they can't get there that year. And say, okay, you know, you can't get there, but here's the air show. And here suddenly we're talking to this F-16 pilot. And we're putting it live on social media. There was a thought, and some people still have that, and say, you'll take away from your crowd. Well, no, that doesn't work. I think the NFL proved it with their blackout rule 40 years ago, that, well, we'll have to black out the games because nobody will come to the games if they can watch them all on TV. There's 100,000 people waiting for tickets for Lambeau Field, and so that proves not to be the case. You know, they will go and watch it. Now, there's a challenge to that, of course. You have to make sure that you present things and then keep telling people you actually want to come to Oshkosh and be a part of EAA or come to the museum. So we look at that as a much broader, as part of our communications and marketing plan, we build that in and say, what are we going to spend? Where are some of the new technologies going, and try to develop that within it.
How do you measure whether you're successful with that or not?
A lot of it is you put things out, and it really comes down to a couple of things, Pat, when you get to the end. By doing this, you can measure visibility, how much you get. But you also have to say, what does it mean for tickets? What does it mean for members? How do we bring people in? And we've used a lot more social media over the last 2 years, and the last two Air Ventures have been two of the most successful ones we've ever had. Good weather, good economy plays a role in that, of course, but this has been the challenges we now face on the Air Venture grounds are challenges of success and things that we have to make better.
Do you poll your members and guests to find out what it is they're listening to and how they find out about you? And
Yes, we do. We send out close to 10,000 surveys after Air Venture, and we also send out about 3,000 membership surveys every month to poll our members to find out what they like, what they don't like.
Okay. We have Ed on the line. Ed, are you there?
I sure am.
Do you have a question for Dick?
Yeah, two questions, actually. It's maybe part of the same thing. Number one is, when a new social media platform comes out, how do you assess it to see if it has a utility for you? And the number two question, closely related, is I've seen some awful bad examples of the use of social media in promotions or marketing. How do you decide the quality issue to make sure that it's done well? What are some of the elements that you consider when you decide to use social media?
Those are great questions, Ed, because every business faces that. And there's a great rule out there, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And that is true with social media. You're right. There are some bad social media out there, and we have to take a look at it. And what we keep coming back to, is it part of our mission as EAA, which is growing participation in aviation? And is it part of the goals we have for individual programs to get visibility, to get volunteers, to get participants, to get admissions, to get members? Is it part of that? And so we're just not going to throw stuff at the wall because, one, if you throw a lot of stuff at the wall, eventually you get diminishing returns. That's what our research tells us. And so getting to your first question, Ed, new social media platforms, they're out there all the time. We will test them. And sometimes we'll give it a little test. We'll start an account and see if there's anything. One of them that we had, we actually have a Pinterest account. You don't think about, EAA airplane guys going in and being on Pinterest. The demographic doesn't seem right. There's a very small one, but for a lot of it, it doesn't work out, so we're not real active there. Snapchat is another one we tried, and it didn't really work for us. We're much stronger in other areas. So you try them, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. So that's why we try to measure it, and we'll put things in there which will send people over to our website or try to send people to an action and say, if we put something out on Twitter, for instance, go watch, here's a photo, here's a clip, and we can measure how much video comes through that. And so we will test that, and if it isn't effective, we won't put the resources toward it anymore. So there's some trial and error involved. There's some calculated risk, and there's some educated guess. All of that is involved in trying to make the right decisions.
There's all a trick to it. When we were young, there was maybe a couple of channels that, everybody listened to or watched because there was nothing else available.
Right.
And now there's so many that you've got to figure that out, because you can't be everywhere and doing everything.
Well, you look at advertising. That, you've got the traditional advertising, the traditional media. You've got billboards out there. But now you have everything else that's out there. Do you go online? Do you do banner ads? Do you show up in places like Spotify and Pandora? All of these places become part of it.
Great. So let's take one more break. You're listening to Biz Talk on WHPY.
Subtract line 6 from 13. Put in box 5 on form 1040EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts & Haling. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Hi, this is Matt Wilcock. I've been helping businesses in this area for over 20 years as a business banker and now as a vice president with WBD, your business finance resource. WBD is a nonprofit company that partners with local lending institutions to offer the SBA 504 loan program. If you are looking to buy commercial, real estate, or equipment, want to lower your down payment and get a 20-year fixed rate under 5%, be sure to ask your banker to show you the 504 option. And don't worry, at WBD we speak SBA, so we will make it easy for you and your banker. For more information on the 504 program, visit WBD.org.
Welcome back. I'd like to thank our sponsors who help us bring BizTalk to you each week. They are Fox Communities Credit Union. They've been a longtime sponsor of BizTalk. If you're looking for business-oriented banking services, please contact Fox Communities Credit Union. Thank you to Albertson Hailing CPAs. They have offices in Appleton and Green Bay. Albertson Hailing offer accounting services geared to support the small to medium-sized business and individuals, including tax preparation and advice. Thank you to Legal Business Edge, LLC, which offers legal services to business owners. Sarah DeBruin and her team specialize in business law, offering services for forming a business, contract review, and intellectual property law, such as patents, copyrights, and trademarks. Thank you to WBD. WBD's mission is to create jobs, grow business, and build communities. They are the 504 SBA loan experts, and they will be our guests next week. So listen if you want to know more about SBA loans. Thank you to Prior Cash Flow Management. Prior believes that every entrepreneur wants to succeed. Prior offers creative, effective solutions to improve cash flow for your company. If you'd like to get a hold of Prior, go out to PriorCFM.com or call 920-450-2840. Thanks, Prior. We'd also like to thank Ken Dale Marketing. They support our website, which has all of our previous podcasts out on it. It also has information on what's coming up. That is at biztalkwithscore.com. And finally, we'd like to thank the Business News. It's a biweekly newspaper in East Central Wisconsin. They talk about everything that's going on in business, and if you're running a small business, you probably want to be paying attention to the Business News. So as we come toward the end of our time here, Dick, we'd like to talk a little bit about how people can get a hold of EAA and find out more about what's going on, like, you know, what educational things you're offering or things of interest that they might, how they could volunteer if they're interested in that.
Okay. Probably the best way to do it is, first of all, go to our website. And we were talking during the break. We updated our website, and any company that's ever updated a website knows exactly how this works. Everything works great in testing. It's going right. It's cruising along. We're all set to go. And day one, it just all goes to heck. And I think that's exactly what happened to us. And so in November, we spent a lot of that month recovering. But it's all up and working now. And so go to EAA.org to take a look at the organization. You'll see not only the organization, you'll see Air Venture, you'll see the museum where you can find out about some of the events coming up in the near future. And so that's a great place to start. And we also have merchandise, so another shameless pitch for EA merchandise will go on right there. But EAA.org is the place. If there are businesses out there that want to connect with us to say, you know, are there possibilities to do that, whether you want to be a food vendor at we work with a lot of restaurants in the Fox Valley and throughout Wisconsin that supply concessions during Air Venture. We're not into the funnel cakes and, you know, things like that so much, or corn dogs, but, you know, some places that actually have restaurant experiences, A&W very strong. Subway has some of the top-performing Subways in the nation during Air Venture Week on those grounds. I mean, things like that. So there are opportunities there, whether you're in construction business, rental business, things like that. Staffing. We work with local staffing firms. All of those things are possibilities. So we certainly encourage people. We're always open to new ideas, new options, new partnerships, and see what might be out there. So it's certainly an opportunity.
Do you have educational opportunities for people locally that might be interested, or online?
We do. There are some educational opportunities. A lot of them involved in aviation. We have webinars. Go to ea.org/webinars. You'll find out what the aviation webinars might happen to be. You can take a look. We've got sport air workshops that teach skills for those who want to build and restore aircraft that go out there. We've got movie nights. I mean, things like, and we have speakers throughout the entire year, too. Interesting aviation speakers that come into the museum, and it's $5 if you're not a member. come on in, enjoy the evening, enjoy the museum, whether it's an aviation movie or an aviation speaker.
I know you were talking earlier about some of your volunteers and some of the guys that like to turn wrenches and things, and how exciting it is for them to be able to work on aircraft that just isn't available anywhere else. You wouldn't get a chance to even, you know, looking at the innards of an aircraft that maybe is a B-29 or something like that.
That's right. It's a great point, Pat, because we welcome volunteers, whether it's with our aviation maintenance area over at the Weeks Hangar, on 20th Street over in Oshkosh, or whether it's with our museum program. We have more than 100 museum docents who volunteer as guides. A lot of them are former teachers, former pilots, commercially and so forth, that welcome guests to the museum. And a lot of them work multiple days per week, and we're always looking for new folks involved in that. So if you've got some time or you're retired and looking for something that'd be fun to do and interesting and meet people from around the world, we'd love to have you part of our volunteer corps.
One of the things I'd add to that, too, is something Dick mentioned before the show. 90% of volunteers return. So this is something people really enjoy doing and really want to be involved in. So if you're interested, I think you're going to find it pretty interesting and exciting.
Oh, it is, because, again, you meet people from around the world. It's an interesting thing. If you're a history nut, if you're an aviation nut, or you just like to watch people, oh, boy, it's good.
Do you have any special hours around Christmas for the museum?
Museum is open 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. The only days we are closed in the coming month, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and New Year's Day. So if you've got the family in town and you've opened the presents and you're all staring at each other and you're all bored with each other right now, well, come on out to the museum right there at Highways 44 and I-41, and we've got family rates. Come on in. It's a great thing. We've got things for the kids that they can run around and try out as well. So it's a great time, and I've got the new Frank Borman personal memorabilia from all his Apollo and military missions and so forth.
I've been to that museum a couple different times, and it's a great museum.
Oh, thank
There's
you.
Just a lot of things to do out there, and it's been very, very interesting. So we'd like to thank you for coming in this morning, Dick. It's been a great show. It's very good to hear about the things that are going on with the EAA besides the AirVenture and things, and we appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And have a great Christmas holiday, and take care, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.